You've come in at Russell Gray, dressed almost like James Bond, except without the bow tie. You've been shot at in Nigeria. You've avoided an apparent kidnap attempt in the Republic of Georgia, which is the former USSR. And you disarmed a knife-wielding attacker in Miami. Not quite all in a day's work for those of us here at BBC Radio Guernsey, which you'll be pleased to hear. But my sofa guest today is a bona fide bodyguard. Russell has worked in over 50 countries, protecting clients such as entrepreneurs and well-respected families. I'll formally welcome you to the JKT Show.
Thank you very much. Great pleasure to be here.
What brings you to Guernsey?
I've been invited out to attend a few meetings. There are a few people here in the island that represent some significant individuals, and they've asked to meet with me to discuss some potential needs.
Oh, OK. So it might be that you end up doing some work for someone here.
The potential is there, that's for sure. And it's unlikely that it'll be here, but when they travel, maybe, and other aspects of their life.
Oh, OK. What do you make of this recent TV series, The Bodyguard?
In the main, it was OK. They exploited artistic license, if you like. And we understand that because, first and foremost, it's about entertainment. But there are a lot of discrepancies with what really goes on out there and how it really works.
How would you speak to your clients, the relationship between you and the client? Would you keep that strictly formal, or would you talk about your day or stuff that's happening with your families or anything like that?
You have to be very careful because many of these people, they're supremely polite, they're very courteous, they're very nice people. But when someone asks me, when I pick them up from the airport, put them in the car, and they say, hi, Russell, how are you? How's your family? They don't really want to know that my daughter had a bad throat and my son's got a headache and my wife's got a bad leg. They don't really want to know. So the answer is, they're very well, thank you, sir. Thank you for asking. Well, thank you, madam. You try to keep it that way. Then you use a vital component, I think, of the job, of the ability to do the job, is emotional intelligence. You'll find the right time when they want to discuss something more more light, more socially. But there's a time and place for everything, and that goes throughout life. But it's very important with these people.
So there's a certain amount of psychology in the job.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely, for sure. You need to understand that person, because you need to understand their body language. Are they uncomfortable where they are? Are they nervous? Are they uncomfortable about the people that are now closing in on their space? Because unlike not the television series, but the general perception, they think that being a bodyguard is about being 8 foot tall and standing, you know, inches away from someone else, occupying a lot of space.
And muscles it's not like oozing that. Steroids.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not about that. You need to give them space when you can. You need to maintain contact so they're comfortable knowing that you're there should there be a need. But you don't want to create an intrusive situation. You don't want to have them tripping over you. You don't want to be in the way. You want to be there close enough to react as and when.
So you're in the restaurant with your client. They're looking nervous. What do you do about that?
Again, situations will differ, but generally in a restaurant, I will have, or one of my team will have performed what we call a recce, just to check out the place, made sure that they're sat in an appropriate table, spoken with the maitre d' or the management. We don't give names out, of course, but we may say that we have a VIP client and we prefer them to be sitting, or can you show me the table that you've allocated? Is it suitable? Is it not? So you then will look at the seating arrangements and you'll steer your client towards the right seat. I would then take a table elsewhere, a little away from them, but in eye shot and in a position where I can react, you know, taking into consideration windows, fire exits, main entries, etc. And if, as you say, or as the question was, he or she becomes nervous, you make eye contact, a little nod. I can stand up, I can walk towards the table and ask the question. And I'll think of some other reason why I'm there. Mm. But they know. They'll have an understanding with me. So they'll know what I'm getting at and they'll assure me or they won't, in which case I can contact the driver immediately, get him around the front doors, and we'll be ready and good to go without causing embarrassment, because that's something else that is very, very crucial about the job. One of the things you're protecting most is your principal's image. So let's not make a fool of them by overreacting.
And the person that the client might be having dinner with, they, you would try to make it look like that you weren't their bodyguard, just a random person? Or would they know that?
They may or may know it, may or may not know it. It'll be dependent on the principal themselves. Sometimes, and in certain parts of the world, they would expect that person to have a bodyguard because of his or her status, and would often not even take them seriously if they didn't. And I'm asked that question sometimes. People say, is it necessary for safety and security? Not always. But for image and presence, yes, it may be, because there's big deals going down here and they need to be taken seriously. So if they waltz up in a 20-year-old mini clubman and walk in on their own, they're not going to be taken seriously.
And what if you swing round and you see someone perhaps acting suspiciously? Would you be able to detect the early stages of that? Someone perhaps giving the client a bit of a funny look or making a funny phone call on their mobile?
Again, experience will lead you to a greater extent, and you make that decision. And very often it is, I will sidle up alongside someone and engage conversation, and I will just hit them off balance, because that's part of it as well, hit them off balance. But you do it in such a way that if that person is innocent and it's just a bit of a misunderstanding, then you've not offended anyone. Important, back to it, protecting the client's image as well as their safety and security.
Have you ever had that, where you've spotted someone in that early stages of doing something and you've had to go over and they have been someone who has meant ill will towards one of your clients?
I have. It was a situation in a Paris restaurant. And again, I went up to them and said, can I help you in any way? You seem a little distracted. And they basically tried to tell me to mind my own business. And I said, well, you seem to be paying a great deal of attention to the gentleman over there. And he said, what business is it of yours? I said, well, really, it is my business, and I strongly recommend you stand aside. And I possibly use slightly stronger language than that. And he stood aside. And that was the end of that at that point. We don't know where it was going, where it was leading, how sinister it was. We don't know. But it's, no one was offended. No, there was no big bust up anywhere. But the matter was dealt with.
And you didn't know who they were from or what intentions they possibly had?
No, we're suspecting, or the team suspected, that it was a little bit of counterintelligence being, or competitive intelligence trying to be picked up from a rival company. As one of our, the client we were dealing with at that time was in the early stages of selling an important asset.
Ah, okay. So it's all just about the commercial stuff, not just about necessarily people who are out to kill or kidnap somebody.
Again, there's an overlap, really, because it's about the commercial side, of course. But in the UK, if I can use the UK as an example, there are an awful lot of Eastern European businessmen who have moved to the UK because of some of their dealings in the past they've been uncomfortable with. That may be of their own doing. It may be of the people, a concern for the people that they've done business with. They're very reliant and very trusting of the judicial system in the UK, so they will move across. Now, that problem can sometimes follow them. So it's commercial, but suddenly it's become a little bit murkier.
Mm. We'll get to that story about being shot at in Nigeria and wresting that knife from that person in Miami. Did you always want to be a bodyguard when you grew up?
Yeah, it was a strange thing. I remember this vividly. I'd probably been about 15 or 16 years of age, and we're at the local park with my friends. I'd started martial arts training, and I seemed to excel at it. It's very different to the way it is now, but it's... I seemed to excel at it. And I remember having a discussion with my friends, and they were all going to be engineers and electricians. And they asked me, I said, I want to be a bodyguard to the stars. And that's how, that was interesting. And it's very strange to think that it actually came true, you know, some years after.
A childhood dream, literally.
Yeah, I guess it was. It's something that I wanted to do. I remember my brother used to refer to me as the Cape Crusader, because I always wanted to be on the side of good, if you like. And people can have a little pop at me in various ways, and I don't really care too much. but please don't have a puppet someone around me, because then, or even, you know, a defenseless old person out there that I've never met in my life, because I will stand up for that person. So it's the sort of thing I've done in different ways throughout my life, taking care of people. And yeah, I'm very glad to have done it, and I've been very fortunate in my life.
Bodyguard to the Stars, are you able to divulge who some of those stars might be?
I can. Now, contrary to general belief, working for the Stars is generally considered the lower end of our profession.
Really?
Yeah, it is, because very often there's an attraction, they want attention, they bring it in, but the threat is actually intangible there. There's not a great deal going on. It's more about keeping away the paparazzi or autograph hunters. But it's a very difficult job, because you've got huge egos to deal with and people who are actually trying to attract the paparazzi and the autograph hunters at the same time. However, I've been quite fortunate in some of the ones that I've worked for. They've been the more discreet, more respectful, maybe. Did a bit of work for Tom Cruise some years ago.
Really?
Fantastic man. Fantastic man, and really loves to understand everything. And very fit as well. So
when I asked you lots of questions about what you do.
Yes, and unfortunately, he was very fit as well. I'm just glad they'd adopted the children at the time. So that was quite a new thing. So he would go running in the park in the mornings, and I'd be expected to run with him. Thankfully, he had one of the children in the pushchair that slowed him down a little bit, so I could keep up. The other one who I had a little more to do with, and I just think the man was excellent, despite some of the stuff in the background, was Michael Jackson.
Okay.
My experiences with Michael Jackson were all positive. The guy, very interesting character, poor guy, really, to look at him and to deal with him. You'd almost describe him as being as simple, a very simple man. Mm. Never grew up, I guess. But was exploited by an awful lot of people, and one of my regrets is that I didn't try to step in when the negative controversy was surrounding him, and maybe offer some kind of character witness, offer myself as a character witness, and maybe get involved again. And I think if that had been the case, then maybe things would be different, because I'm not the type of person who, for the sake of maintaining my job, would allow things to go on that I disagree with.
What was Michael Jackson like to talk to? Was he much of a conversationalist?
It was almost like he wanted to be playful with conversation all the time. One that sticks in my mind, he was been shown around by another VIP on a golf cart. He was on a golf cart, and I would jog alongside. And in those days, I was quite, I think I'm pretty fit now and in decent condition. But in those days, I was younger, so a little better. And he was making comments. He said, well, you know, why don't you get on the golf cart? Because it's so hot. It was actually in Brunei. And I said, no, I'm fine, sir, thank you, because it was inappropriate to do so. Not because I didn't want to. And he would say, oh, you know, you must work out all the time. I said, I'm trying my best. Then he tapped his manager or road manager for that particular tour, who was female, and he said to me, she likes you. So, okay, great. Now, how do you respond to that? You don't. Just smile and leave it at that. So naturally, the golf cart comes to a stop. I turn around, I look out. There's no point in looking at him, he's not going to attack himself. So I look out, next thing you know, a little touch on my bottom. So I turn my head around, I can see his arm coming back, and he points across it. It was her. And you know, and that's what I say about simplicity within the man.
Yeah.
There was no harm in it.
No.
This was done as if he was a 13 or 14-year-old boy. So I'm very sad by his demise. Mm. I think he was a very nice and very soft human being who would have helped anyone he could, but he was exploited to hell.
Mm. And you mentioned a bit earlier, Michael Jackson said to you, oh, do you work out a lot? During the training to be a bodyguard, what's that like? Because I've watched films like James Bond, like Jason Bourne, and you expect this horrendously tough regime to get you to the point where you can recognize when there's something going wrong, where you are at a point of physique where you're able to quickly react and overpower somebody. What is the training like to be a bodyguard?
Well, for me, it was a natural progression. I was already training. I was already involved in the martial arts. I was rated number 5 in Europe, 6 in the world as a heavyweight fighter, you know, some years ago. So I was there already in that side of it. I was teaching unarmed combat. Everything fitted into place. Nowadays, I'm sorry to say that it's due to legislation. The training has fallen apart. And it means that someone like myself with 25 years plus experience, with the right credentials and background, has nothing more to show for it than the same guy who sat in a classroom for 8 or 10 days and been taught the rules and regulations by someone who's never done the job in the first place. There's a licensing system in the UK. It's the SIA, and it, in principle, it's very good, but they basically make sure that everyone is now licensed. When I was first involved in the game, there weren't licenses. You were brought in on reputation, and people knew you could do the job. Now it's about sitting in a classroom, sitting through various slides and presentations, not too much with most of the companies out there, not too much actual practical work, and they're coming away with a license, and that's very sad.
Do you think that it's quite worrying that the level that bodyguards are operating at that have come out from this new system perhaps aren't as savvy as perhaps someone like yourself?
It's worrying. There are still an awful lot of them out there, and people who are relatively newly qualified who will do, as I did and as many of my peers have done, and taken it upon themselves to go and, you know, pay to do a tactical driving course separately, pay to do firearms courses separately, pay to do a number of things to bring their skills up and keep renewing and reviewing their skills. But unfortunately, the market is, people have seen a market for it, and it's becoming a numbers game for a lot of people, and they don't care who they're bringing in. I won't use anyone who doesn't have the right background, the right standards, and that I know personally, whose attitudes reflect my own and mirror my own. I'm sure I'm not always right either, but I certainly try to take it to the top end. And that's fortunately where I am at the moment. I'm working for people at the top end,